Good morning. Who's on, please?
Good morning, Rick and Dave.
Got everyone.
Dave.
Or at least
Dave. Wonderful, wonderful.
Emily might join us in a little bit. But that was nice last time. I'm glad you and Ted got a chance to catch up.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you. That was wonderful. Hopefully we get some more people helped, right?
Exactly. but it's good stuff. And so what I wanted to ask you about today, though, I need your coaching. So we're getting set up for this next weekend is this big event, the Philly Cricket on Friday, and then the Sea Colony stuff over the weekend. And it's coming together very nicely. We have a good mix of people. It's gonna be pretty cool. So my question is, so one of the guys who is from, you know, Dennis and Tennant, that we play tennis with at Sea Colony. Now that's in Delaware. So we attract a lot of people from the DC, Virginia area. And so one of the guys, I play with him a lot, and he's gonna come back for the Saturday event at Sea Colony. And then I told him, because we're going to, you know, do tennis, drinks, and then dinner down there, too. He's actually the general counsel for SoFi. You know, the social fight, whatever. The, you know, it started off with college lending and everything else. There's Emily.
Good morning.
He was one of the original guys in that company when it started. They're going to be going public within the next year, probably. You know, they hired a new CEO and all this other stuff, you know, with the intention of taking it public. But anyway, long story short, he's probably going to retire, he says, within another year. And, you know, he's built up a lot of equity in the company. Has a lot of restricted stuff and yada, yada, the whole deal. So, you know, like I said, I'm playing tennis. He's going to come to our event. How do we tee this up, Rob? Because I got to get to the point of, you know, getting out from, you know, the social stuff, play tennis, and then get to the business. How do I transition? I need a coach.
I would introduce you're going to have your buddy there, right?
Yep.
From Fix, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
My suggestion would be to introduce him around. Okay?
Yeah.
Sam,
correct.
Sam creates great credibility for you. And Sam will tell stories about you. And that's leverage. Okay? So,
I already told him that. I told him that, you know, because when I have some clients coming down and I said one just went IPO, so there is going to be a lot of synergy between these, you know, just I could tell between those two, because they'll be talking stories and everything else like that. And
I would do that. I would make sure. I would make sure that you are being presented. I mean, you can't guarantee you're always going to be presented in the best light, but
right.
Sam's a raving fan. So getting Sam out in front of your clients or your prospects and telling his story, you can't be overt, but you can be kind of, you know, covert and make sure he meets the right people and that they get a chance to talk. And make sure you, when you introduce them, you make it clear what they have in common.
Yeah.
And especially as a general counsel, he's going to be very interested in how Sam did things. So their conversation would be one that I frankly would want to hear personally.
Yeah.
Because I think it would be very educational. Because your general counsel is not going to be an idiot. He's going to know a lot of, he's going to know a lot of things. He's going to want to know how well things went. And I think that's where you can pick up, a little bit of education as well as be kind of the man, you know, the guy that is taking care of things for people.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't I don't think I'd go into it with some nefarious plan to you know, how to get this guy as a client. I would rather do it as a
so evaluate.
Yeah, just a way to introducing the right people and then kind of being there and picking up on the signals. You know, you're going to hear him say what he needs. And then that gives you a list, a laundry list of solutions, potential solutions to his problems that you may or may not be able to provide. So it's more of a forensic questionnaire asking session in order to become more knowledgeable about what's missing in this guy's life and business life and things like that. And that would be what I would be looking for with each one of these clients, each one of these prospects, you know.
Yeah. So, as it turns out, another one of the Sea Colony tennis buds I have, he is he's another executive recruiter in the D.C. area. And, I mean, it's a perfect, you know, remember we were saying, like, I'm basically matchmaking here. I'm looking who's going to connect, who's going to, you know, obviously Sam and this guy Rob from SoFi, there's a natural connection. But as it turns out, this friend Tom, who's an executive recruiter, and I was telling him, I said, you're going to really appreciate it because I have, you know, clients and friends coming from Boston, and one of them is an executive recruiter. He said, what's his name? And I told him Clark, you know, Waterfall. He goes, oh, my God. He goes, my partner is, you know, they know each other very well. So there's going to be a natural connection between those two guys, too.
Yeah, and, you know, you don't want your guys being stolen from companies that you're, you know, that where you have a control and have a strong, but on the other hand, as you said, Sam was looking to be CEO of one of these companies, so it's not a bad thing for him to know people, and just, it's a small world, as you can see. And
it is a small world.
Yeah. And so I think this is it's a great opportunity. You know, think of it as a second inning of a 9-inning game you're playing.
Right. It's not a closing. This is still the relationship building and connecting.
Yeah.
It's the setup. You know, it's the setup. We got a runner on first. You want to bump them over to second, right?
Yeah.
Although, guys, I am hearing, that's another city now that we're going to have another tennis event. We're going to have Silicon Valley, Boston, Philly, and now D.C. So we're up to four cities.
We're moving along.
I'm looking at my other list of guys who responded, and this was sort of a reach. This is another guy I played tennis with a couple years ago. I haven't really seen him in a while. But I knew he worked at Children's Hospital, in Philadelphia. And Children's Hospital is the one where this Spark Therapeutics spun out of. They did the research in another gene therapy company. And I knew this guy would probably know some of the people that Sam knew. And he said, I'm definitely coming. I'm there. And as it turns out, when I mentioned Spark, he said he knows all the principals. He's done research for them and stuff like that. So there's going to be a lot of connectivity here. Even though these are strangers, there's a lot of commonality, I guess, that they're going to, you know, and I'm just going to be the one to put them together, to connect.
Well,
and they're all pretty good tennis players, too, which is going to be nice.
Yeah, you remember the book I suggested that you read on instead of the go-getter, it was the go-giver. In that book, remember, there was the connector?
Yeah, and that's, you know, basically, ask, I think what I can do.
Yeah, they asked him what he did, and he said, I disconnect people.
Yeah.
But, you know, they you do so well. Well, you know, I just try and help people, you know. I just connect them. And in a lot of ways, that's really probably one of the most rewarding jobs we can have as financial advisors, is connect people so that their businesses will do better and grow. And here's the other thing you got to understand, and you guys know this probably. When you're working, and I was a perfect example of this. I mean, when you're working, you don't have time to make, you know, really good friends. I mean, you have your friends, small group, and you hang on to them, and you have your family, and you have your brothers, but your circle of really good friends stays about the same until you retire. And then, if you're in the right community, it grows dramatically, kind of back to where you were in high school. And because you have time. So these guys don't have time to meet each other in reality, because they're working like madmen. And you can be a big, big help to them in terms of connecting them business-wise, but also connecting them friendship-wise. You can, if you do the planning for them, they'll go along with it. Wealthy people want access, and they want other people to plan their life for them. I've got a friend who plans 2 trips a year for hiking, and he gets 20 guys pretty much to sign up every year, going all over the world.
Wow!
So, you know, we plan a trip to Abaco for fishing, and I have no problem filling that.
Wow.
We plan a trip to Idaho fishing. I'll have 18 guys signed up for that. But these are all, you know, former CEOs and wealthy people who really don't want, and don't, even in retirement, don't take the time to plan their life that way. And so you, in setting up this kind of recreation, can become a very important person in their life, and they will look at you as their leader, and that can be very powerful, and these guys can become very good friends through this. So the more you can do it as a ritual, you know, for them, the more they'll value it. You know, make it a good time and then do it again. Like Emily said, let's do one in Washington. You know, it's a brilliant thing, and your network in tennis is so valuable and so powerful that, you know, people will be vying for these spots.
No. So, I mean, when we started talking about this, you know, on some of our earlier calls, I think the impetus, though, was when we went to Boston and Dave and I went, and how Clark set that up as that person to set up tennis, but also as a means of connecting people with like-minded, you know, in the business community, with the, whether biotech or private equity and all these other things. So I'm thinking of working that in. When I, you know, when we sort of sit down and say, this is why we're doing this. This is where my idea came from.
Yeah.
And now we're going to reciprocate by going to Boston. What do you think of that?
I think it's great, because these guys don't have time for that either, see?
Right.
They go to conferences, but every time they go to a conference, they feel guilty because they're taking time away from their work, right? So if you can combine a networking opportunity with a recreation opportunity, I mean, how much fun is that, right? It's perfect.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, they're probably not competing with each other. They're probably, in some ways, you know, learning from each other and growing with each other.
Yeah.
So you kind of lean on them a little bit for how to do this. I mean, because you want it to be, you really want it to be in the end something that they really value, and what better way than to ask them for their advice on how to best make this something that will be very meaningful for them.
And so
on the business side, I'd ask for their advice and see what, you know, this is what happened in Boston. What did you think of it? What do you think? How can we make this? Is this the direction to go? Or would you do it differently?
Mm-hmm.
And then just sort of brainstorm with them. And they may not have a clue, but I will tell you, your Clark and Tom are going to be brilliant at understanding this.
Yeah.
Right? So I think I definitely would ask their advice.
Yeah. Good. But no, I see. I mean, I can already tell. I mean, I know just the way we do. I mean, the venue we're going to do it at, I could tell already the people that have come together on this who are going to attend. And then, you know, the opportunity afterwards to really mingle and get to know each other through cocktails and dinner is going to be amazing. And then be able to replicate it the next day at Sea Colony while watching the women. We're going to watch the women's doubles finals, and then we're going to play drinks and dinner, and then Sunday morning we'll watch the singles women's finals. I probably told you this before, though. I'm going to keep... But the Sea Colony, the Sea Colony is only a lower level. It's called a 25K, so it's like a double A baseball equivalent to the major leagues. But the girl who won it last year, her name is Danielle Collins. She just played in the French this year, and she's now number 45 in the world.
Huge.
Nice. Huge. I mean, she played Wozniacki the first round or two, but that's just an example of what, I mean, she came from, you know, playing a qualifier and playing a, you know, satellite at Sea Colony, and then this year she's on, you know, she was in the semis at Indian Wells, and she's knocking off Venus, she knocked off a lot of the top players. So it's a cool story, though, and these tennis guys. Now, just so you know also, this past weekend, we have another friend who used to live in the United States, and now he's back in France. And it's a friend of Sam and I, and now we've introduced Clark to him. So he was trying to get all of us to come to the French Open this past weekend. And Clark, anyway, was traveling, and he went there. So he met this other guy, and he had an amazing time. And they're already talking about trying to set up, you know, they all want us out there for next year with Sam, Clark, and I to be out there at the French Open. And it's just, you know, they're tennis nuts. They love it.
Yeah. It's a great idea. Now, let me tell you something. I just came back. I spent a week up in Winston-Salem at the NCAA Championships for tennis.
Yeah.
And Wake won, and they won the singles. The two finalists were both Wake Forest guys.
Wow.
Anyway, we happened to watch the women, and I was thinking of you. And there's a gal from Pepperdine who was in the finals who was fabulous, and she was so sweet. She said, "Would you watch us? You know, we're here from Pepperdine. There's nobody here. There's a gal from Egypt. Yeah, gal from Egypt. Would you cheer for us? Because Wake had not, the women had not won, so they were gone. And so I was thinking of you because these are the kind of gals that will be in your tournament. I mean,
the NCAA winners, or you know, they'll be there,
right? And what a fun thing to host, you know, and get tennis going and get the support going, you know, to get some people from the, you know, just I don't know. This kind of jazz up the alumni thing. You know, if they happen to be, you know, if it happened to be Wake Forest and there was one of these gals, you know, or from Wake Forest, I'd definitely go, you know.
Yeah, right.
So think about the college connection, too, with these gals. Because they all played college tennis.
Yeah.
And people like me who are, you know, fanatics about their university would come just
to support them.
Hell yeah, yeah.
That is good. I mean, we'll definitely, because that's exactly, that's the audience of girls who play here.
Yeah, I will tell you what, you talk about professional and nice and just wonderful people. Oh my God, just so sweet. So impressed with the quality of the kids and everything. It's just, you know, people say, oh, the next generation and all this stuff. This gal, Ashley, who was in the finals, was, you know, pre-med, you know, brilliant student, played, you know, and the gals from Vanderbilt were number 2 or number 10 and 11 in the country. And, I mean, they were fabulous players. I mean, they're just such great kids.
It's right.
So I would come to your women's thing, particularly if I knew and had been following NCAA tennis all along and then knew a couple of the players from there. It makes it so much more fun. So I would leverage that, you know. It is a wonderful thing.
Start snooping on those players there, David.
Yeah. You know, Rick was gonna you know, post something on Danielle Collins' Instagram page, and I told him it might be a little bit creepy.
Yeah.
We gotta find a way to contact her, but not in a creepy way.
I could post a picture of her and I under my UBS sign.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right. No, that's good. That's
good. Yeah, that's not creepy.
That's not creepy. No, right. I agree. That's not creepy.
It's wonderful, you know. You see these kids. You provide a few scholarships. They make it to the net. You know, and then it's just you know, a lot of people are big supporters. When you get to this level of wealth, these people are generally, you know, significant supporters of their schools.
Yeah.
And you make that connection, they will value it a lot. So I think, you know, with Villanova there, and, you know, just I would just check on things and just, you know, just check. Just keep, always put that in the back of your mind when you see one of these players. You know, where did they play the college tennis?
Well, one of the things, now, I'm going to have a connection at University of North Carolina, because one of the girls from Sea Colony she's going to go there on a full ride next year. And they were ranked number 1 in the country up until I just saw the dad, they were down. He was probably at the same tournament because they lost, though, in the quarterfinals to Stanford, and I think Stanford ended up winning it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So North Carolina, and he said his daughter might be the missing piece.
Wow.
So I'm going to make a connection with him because I said, we're going to do some road trips to go watch UNC, and he's the same kind of guy. He gets all the girls, but, you know, they hang with his daughter. They bring them up to see Colony. It's pretty neat, but this is all tennis related. I mean, so we're building these relationships. But I have this issue.
Yeah, what?
No, the issue I have is, like I said, bridging that next step after the social to get it into, hey, can we help? You know, how can I help you? But I'm not comfortable with that, you know, taking it to that level. Like I said, even with Joe Madden, you know, it's been like,
cut it out there,
Melbourne. Well, that's...
Yeah.
You
just become really good friends. I know it sounds crazy and it's long-term, but you become really good friends, and then they ask you.
Well, that's like it's done to so far, but I think we can speed it up now with Mr. Dave here.
you can in some ways, but for this particular kind of prospect, I mean, when you're doing the prospecting with Sam, that's very direct. These guys have an event. They need your help. This is where, you know, they can make a mistake in terms of their planning, and it can cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
Okay? That's a big difference between Sam and his associates at FIXX and prospecting through tennis. Okay? Different game.
Right.
One is, look, let us give you a presentation that may protect, you know, you're going to generate some really good ideas from this, and we may just protect you from losing hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, you know, the truth is you can help people all, you know, think of the college connection now, people donating money, giving stock versus money, giving required minimum distributions versus cash. I mean, people, I had a gal in Miami bring in a $6 million client because one of the FA that he was doing business with never told him to give away highly appreciated stock to his university.
Wow.
I mean, it was really stupid, and he was so mad when he found out he could do it, he moved the account.
Wow.
So I think there's stuff you can do, you know. Well, I didn't know that you could give, you know, $100,000 away. You know, I thought that it was restricted in your required minimum distribution.
Right.
But you can give $100,000 away. I was like, that's unbelievable. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think that's to me where you can kind of tie this whole thing together with your estate planning, where Dave can come in and be really smart about, you know, let's put a second pair of eyes on this thing to make sure you're not making any mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, I like that term too, a second pair of eyes. I like that rather than a second opinion.
Okay. So here's the next one then. So how, in terms of positioning, because obviously Dave's going to be with me, and this is an opportunity for me to basically introduce Dave to a whole new set of people. Obviously the clients and Sam he knows and stuff, but how do I position that? And that's what I'm thinking is that could we pivot to this is how we're going to now looking to continue to grow because of new capability, you know, more leverage. How do I position Dave at these meetings or at these social events, but to set it up so that let them know that, you know, we're open for business now.
Well, I think you can position yourself as the leader and that he's the specialist. So that when you need surgery, this is the guy, you know, you need to go to. When you need to sit down and do some serious planning, when you have any event that's going to be happening in your life, this is the guy that you should sit down and if you're lucky enough, Dave will sit down with you and help you through that. Yeah, and I think that's the way you want to position it, that this isn't for everybody. That we have, you know, we have very high minimums. We do business with a limited number of wealthy families, and we specialize in helping people in this particular area. Now, one of the things that I don't know if I shared this with you guys or not, but one of the things that I kind of was reluctant to recommend was using this term. Our team's sole focus is blank. But you know what? It's very powerful and it's risky in the sense of, you know, maybe, you know, somebody isn't in your area of sole focus. But it's kind of, it makes people comfortable that you know what you're doing in their area of interest. So it's like saying that I have a limited number of clients, I do business with less than 50 families. That's exclusive, right? And then you say, well, my minimum is $5 million. That's exclusive. And then my sole focus is helping entrepreneurs navigate through the complex web of of financing their businesses. And they're like, whoa, wow, you guys are really cool. So I think my recommendation is to do that, okay? And to limit your focus. It's kind of like when we went and said, every client's going to get a financial plan 12-4-2, and here's the key part, rapid response to your problem, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. When we said that, I remember giving a speech in Miami, and the guy that followed me on the stage said, you know, I don't think that's a good idea, what Rob said. I think that's too risky. I don't know that you could do that. 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. And I said to myself, that's awesome. Because he doesn't think we could do it. Therefore, that means that if we do it, we're going to be amazingly unique in the market.
Right.
And the truth is that even though you may not always be able to do it, the fact that you state it is very powerful. And when aren't you going to do it? I mean, somebody calls, you call them back, right?
Sure.
If they got a problem, 95% of the time on a problem, you can resolve it in 24 hours. And when you can't, you just tell them and say it's going to take 36 hours or 48 hours. And you get back to them and you tell them when it's solved.
Right.
See, it's like 12-4-2. Nobody has the courage to say, I'm going to call you every month.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody
to over-promise and under-deliver.
Right. So they don't do anything. So they don't promise anything because they're so afraid they can't do it. And so they lose that definition of who they are. And I would say, if you don't define yourself, your clients will. And what are they saying? So I think this is an interesting thought, because you guys are specializing now and you are focusing and you are doing a financial plan for each one of these people. So let's articulate it, okay? And come up with our team's sole focus is, and then define it. And I think you're going to find that it's helpful when you're introducing yourselves to these folks. And what Dave's role in that sole focus. What do you think?
No, I like it.
I think it makes sense. And Rob, don't you think there is a kind of an undertone to a lot of different events, whether it's a dinner or this kind of event, that, you know, it is a, you know, relationship building, business building type event? You don't even have to really state that, but to some sense, do you think that that's kind of an undertone of it, or do you kind of pitch this is just a, you know, taking out friends and you know, some, you know, maybe whether it's some might be clients as well, but that it's more of a social event versus a business event? Do you know what I mean? Like,
the more they think it's a social event, the more relaxed they'll be, and the happier they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the more you appear as though you don't need the business,
right,
the more they're going to want to do business with you.
It's the exclusivity and the, yeah, yep, I got you.
Okay? So this is the time to be proud of what you do, because everybody's going to be very interested in what you do.
Right.
But this is when you tell them what you do. You know, our sole focus is helping people like Sam. That's what we do. Wow. Okay. So now they know that you're not just another, you know, money manager or whatever. You're there, you know, and Sam can say, these guys are awesome. And you know, the more you specialize in that, the better you're going to do. The better you're going to do. Seriously. and there's a lot more people. And what you're finding is that it doesn't, geography doesn't matter. That's the key to remember.
Yeah.
That your niche is this, you know, and your niche, and there's, the more narrow your niche gets, the better, the more qualified you appear and the more qualified you'll be. So this isn't a scam. You guys are going to actually get better and better and better at this the more you do it. And the more you work on this particular kind of niche, you're going to get smarter and smarter and smarter. Look at much more you know now than you did before.
Oh, yeah.
Hematology went public, right?
Yeah.
So do people really want to educate their financial advisor on all the garbage that they're going to go through? No, they'd rather switch to you than move up in the world.
So just like we do with, you know, positioning, you know, what we do, we say what we're going to do for our 1242 and all the other stuff, I'm going to state this is going to be a part of an annual event.
Mm-hmm.
That this is going to, we're going to do this as a continuation.
Right.
Put that out there so they understand that, and then the following year they'll look forward to it, and they'll probably, you know, tell somebody, you got to, hopefully you can get your spot into this.
Right. No, and you're going to find that, you know, the guys that put it together, some people are a better fit than other people. I mean, the reality is not everybody, don't worry about that part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to come up with somebody that should be here, and you're going to find one person that is just not a good fit.
Right.
And so that you just constantly adjusting this thing, and that'll be forever, by the way. It'll never be perfect, but it'll always be good.
Well, one of the guys we talked about who is he's the former J&J, and he's now running his own company, this guy Roberto, and he's a very good tennis player. But so I saw him at the club a couple weeks ago, and he could not make this one. And I don't have that close relationship with him yet. I've only played with him once or twice. But he just said, wow, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah.
You know, this is really cool. I said, don't worry. I said, we're going to make this an annual event. You know, we'll get you next year. And we're going to probably play more during the summer, too. But it's an entree to him because we think he's bigger than Hogan.
Well, I just think that, you know, that makes – I always like it. You know, I know it sounds kind of crazy, but it's always great when somebody can't make it. Because you get the same credit without filling the slot. So now you've got the slot still open, so you get four or five people that can't make it, and they all see you as the guy that's putting on something really special.
Yeah.
And therefore, you get them access, you become more valuable.
Right.
It's very weird how things happen. I mean, you become the person to do business with.
Yeah.
And that takes years and work and constant attention to detail and, you know, just, but when you become that person, then everybody wants to do business with you. So it, you know, you can't force it, and the more you look like you want business, the less attractive you become. So it's, you know, but you have the door open for that, but you do it in the second appointment. You know, you do it away from this event.
Yeah. So you see a ton, but a couple pieces. So that'll be coming next week. So we'll report into that on our next call. But we also have a call set up already with Sam, with our specialist, Jen Van Ness, who I guess is our equity derivative specialist, you know, to deal with concentrated positions, to go over Sam's options with all of that. So that call is already set up for 2 weeks from now. I think it's like the 14th or the 15th or something like that. But I could see this actually, us learning to do this for Sam could potentially start this conversation for the SoFi guy, because he could be doing the same stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. And when you, I mean, after you have this call, then Dave becomes the guy that does the concentrated position conference call instead of a specialist.
Right.
Okay? because you learn it and you know it. So you're paying attention and taking notes and learning this so that you don't need the specialist anymore.
Right.
You're the specialist. And that's the part where you become more and more and more valuable as because it becomes more and more of a deeper niche. And the more they see you as the specialist in their niche, the less attractive other people become.
Now here's my question, because I've always been solo, I always considered, you know, this virtual team. Because, so if I have an equity specialist as a, you know, or concentrated equity person, that, I mean, is there if I consider her a part of my virtual team, I mean, does that help or hurt? You're saying, is it better to have her own, like, being own this thing for herself?
It just depends. It just depends how good they are and how they interact.
Well, yeah, sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
So I would, you know, I would see and what's her availability and,
right,
and all those things, you know. And
okay.
It may be, you know, when you need a something, you know, is it possible to do a collar on this stock or is it too thin, you know. A lot of that, I want to have that conversation myself with her.
Yeah.
Rather than doing it with the client on the phone.
I get you on that. Because we've had some calls with Jen already. She's pretty, I liked her energy. I liked her confidence. I liked her because she always said, she goes, Rick, look at, with your relationship and with ours, you know, with me, we got this. Because she was really good, I mean, but she did say the same thing. She goes, yes, Morgan, Goldman, everyone, they're going to tell them the same thing. But the difference is Sam has, you know, us, Dave and I, already in his corner. And the fact that we could do that, but coming from, you know, a personal relationship shit is a deal breaker. Because all of them are the same stuff.
But he's always going to turn to you and say, okay, Rick, what do you think?
Right.
You know, should I actually do this?
Yeah.
And there's always, don't get sucked into, you know, that there's a magic formula out there. I mean, there's always a price you pay for everything that you do. And so you really need to be able to sit and think through it in terms of what's the cost of doing this versus not doing it, you know. And what are the ramifications and how can this go wrong? You know,
yeah.
You really need to know this stuff rather than relying on somebody else.
And then the last piece is just jumping on. I think we said, you know, Hogan, we met and he's willing to, you know, we're proposing and he did get back to Margaret and said, you know, let's right after the holiday, you know, he'll set up some dates for June so we can get together. Now, the fact that J&J dropped from 148 to 118 might have been a little impetus for him, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if J&J doesn't become a target of a private, you know, a hedge fund like they did with Procter & Gamble because, you know, they've got, you know, their consumer division, which has really been lagging. And if they broke it up or sold off that consumer division, I think it'd go up a lot. So I think there's some interesting things going on there. More than just J&J is a great company with a great rating and so forth. Consumer staples have been a real problem for companies. And so that division is, they're getting criticized for not making that more agile. And,
interesting. Yeah. So hopefully this month, obviously we have the events coming up. And we're also next Tuesday night doing an event with all of these docs that we brought in earlier in the year, and their spouses. We're going to just do a dinner with them, and it's almost like, you know, an appreciation dinner, but I'll, you know, just another goodwill piece, and they're all looking forward to that, which should be good. So Tuesday dinner, Friday cricket, weekend sea colony, And then we have calls with Sam, and then hopefully we'll have it set up with Hogan. So we're not slowing down in June, Rob.
So keep in mind, keep thinking about these mastermind groups. Forming a mastermind group whose sole purpose is to identify these people and help each other in the mastermind group to help this kind of client. All right. So people like Tom and Clark are perfect. Probably not in the same mastermind group, but
right.
Each one of those guys would be, to me, an ideal person to have in the mastermind group. So keep identifying who else might be in a mastermind group to service this particular market and ask them. So you can, my conversation would be them, have you ever thought about creating a mastermind group around servicing this particular market, you know, and that would, I just think, would be a very cool conversation. All right.
We got it. I like it.
Yeah, you're saying, how do I be more aggressive with this? That's the way you become more aggressive with it, okay? The mastermind group would be a much more aggressive approach to marketing to this group. Not because each person could bring so much leverage to the table. And you'd be aware of every deal that was going down in the market. So I think that would be, as you focus on this and become more of a specialist in that area, having that, I think, is something to keep in mind. It's great. He can be a center of influence for you. You can meet with him every month. You can talk about it. You can refer to him. He can refer to you. But getting that mastermind group together, I think, can be a brilliant idea. Okay?
Awesome, Rob.
Great. Awesome. Terrific.
So think of us next weekend and we'll give you a report.
Yeah, I will. I'm excited. I think this is great.
And if there's any Wake Forest girls, I'll have a picture sent down to you.
Would you? I would love that.
I'll definitely be on the lookout for some Wake girls now.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, they've got a good team. So, yeah.
All right.
Not as good as it's going to be, but it's pretty good. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
All right, guys. Take care.